answering your questions. Got an email here. Tony, why should I pay for the retirement of a state worker through tax dollars when the same doesn't happen for me? I have to put my own money away. I do get matching from my private sector boss, but it really irks me that tax dollars go to the retirement of teachers and state employees.
Well, there's two different retirement systems now. Teachers are still on the defined benefit program, and that is a major cost issue for all school systems because that comes out of their foundation allowance, and it's very, very expensive. Governor Engler, back in 1996, put state employees on a defined contribution plan. So they are now kicking in, and the state will match that to a much smaller extent. So that is saving the state of Michigan an awful lot of money. And it's similar to plans you'll now see in the private sector. And that's something where we're trying to bring public sector back in line with the private sector.
Let's go out to Bath and talk to Charlie.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for calling in. The representative is listening live ears perky.
Well, that's good to hear. Two things. One, what you just talked about, the benefits for public service employees. You know, it's always been that, you know, the negotiating's been done and the person paying the bill's never been at the table, that being the taxpayer. The unions and the government negotiators, you know, basically have a free load on our money. And that's the big problem I see with the, you know, the discontent right now with the, you know, the public service unions. You don't hear it about the private sector. And the other thing is I think these teachers, instead of teaching, are indoctrinating our kids now. And that's why when my children graduated, they ended up going to a community college, just like you said, and having to basically take what they should have learned in 12 years and have to be taught to get into a four-year college. And I just think these teachers are spending more time indoctrinating our kids to thank you.
All right. Comment on that?
Geez, I forgot where I was going to go with that. I had a thought. What I wanted to comment, Tony, I think oftentimes when people hear maybe a Republican talking about K-12, I strongly, strongly support K-12. My undergrad is in secondary ed. My wife's is in elementary ed. And I've got a son and his wife, Holly, are both teachers. And it's a field or profession that I strongly, strongly support. And I think they do a great job. But talking as we are about how we bring cost in line is not anti-teacher. I really think it's pro-kids. And I'm a Qantas member in St. John's, and we have Student of the Month. And some of the young men and women that come in from the St. John's school system, the students are just amazing what they can do. And I think the school system is doing a fantastic job. And we're asking them to continue to do that, but to do that in a more efficient way.
You know, in observations that I make, not only from my own observations, but from others, when it comes to this, it's got to come from home. I don't think I was pushed enough in my house, single parent home, but I had teachers that just pushed me. I had a football coach who pushed me. At our house, our kids hate it, but there is a certain amount of time for TV and games. You got to get homework done first. We have a quiet reading time. I think you got to push the kids, and they may not like it now, but I think when they get to that point, you know,
I think you're right, and I think all of us will say, boy, my parents are a lot smarter once they hit about 24, 25 years of age and you get married and have kids. And I think parents are expecting teachers to do more today because almost all families are now double or dual incomes. And so there is more expected of teachers. They do have more responsibility, and it's not an easy job. It's a very challenging job for them.
But I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, how does that school incentive plan work? Schools can get some cash. I think it's $100.
They can get $100 extra money if they can meet four of five specific criteria.
And that's per student.
Yeah, $100 per student. One is they have to competitively bid contracts of $50,000 a year or more. And actually, as a former mayor in DeWitt, they should be doing that. It's public dollars. It's public money. If they're spending it, they should want to do that to be efficient. The second one is 10% of the health insurance premium should be paid then by the teacher or the employee of the school. And the national average now is actually about 23 or 24%. So that's asking them just to start jumping into that whole arena. They have to have a report card, and they have to report back to the parents of the school district what efficiencies they're putting into place, how they're trying to save money and work perhaps with other school systems or the local community. A fourth one is the district needs to hold a health insurance policy instead of an outside agency or outside health insurance company. And then they also have to show and put together a report on the consolidation efforts that they're currently in place. And they can grandfather that in over the last 4 or 5 years.
We had a caller call in and think that the observation he made was when these contracts were being negotiated, the taxpayers didn't get to sit at the table. I think when everyone sits at the table, it's interesting. For example, we talk with the superintendent and the president of the unions from the Dearborn Public Schools, and the Dearborn Public Schools said, here's the insurance plan. It's going to cost you almost $700 per employee. It's the best we can do, and we worked on it. Well, the union went out and found the same insurance for less than $300 per person, and I think everyone needs to sit at the table.
Everyone should be sitting at the table. And remember, Tony, too, we have a republic. It's a representative form of government. So taxpayers are representative at school negotiating sessions by the school board. We elect those individuals to represent us, the taxpayer, at the school board.
I want to make a journalistic observation. This is not an opinion, but from the people that I hear from, whoever negotiated union contracts, whether it was for the auto workers or the state or for the teachers back in the day, did a heck of a job. But because the taxpayers weren't sitting at the table, maybe promises were made that couldn't be taken care of in this day and time. And now these unions, I don't know if entitled's the right adjective, but hey, they had it there, we should get it here. When you talk about the retirement packages and the benefits plans that the taxpayers pay, not only can't we afford it, but there are a lot of folks out there who say, hey, I don't get this. They shouldn't. I know you had it before, but it's a different day and we're going broke and it's not fair.
Yeah, and I think if you look at how this has progressed, it was called Generous Motors, and they had a ton of – nobody ever thought GM was going to go bankrupt. Or Chrysler or Ford. And though Ford didn't, they were close to that. It was the private sector that really led the way. People were making very good money, had great retirements, and people expected that to continue, and the public sector followed. And now that the private sector has lost a lot of those benefits because it could not be sustained in a world economy as we become competitive worldwide, I think the public sector now has to follow back with the private sector. And that's where you get that, I don't have that anymore. I can't afford to sustain this for somebody else.